I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every year I am moved as I watch the Royal British Legion Festival of Remembrance at the Albert Hall. And at the end, when all the poppies cascade down from above, and we remember men and women who have lost their lives in the defence of freedom and peace. But we can take that so easily for granted, can't we, today? Sadly, however, as we look back over this past year, we still see a world that is being torn apart by terrible wars. Terrorism, human trafficking, natural disasters have been horrendous this year. Famine, disease. And I'm reminded of the words of David in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. There's a story of a little boy who greatly missed his father, who was away from home on military duty. Not sure if it was the First or Second World War. And his mother tried to comfort him by placing a framed photograph of his father beside his bed. And when he was frightened at night, he could look at the photograph and imagine that his father was with him. But one night, the mother heard him crying and went in to comfort him and said, what's wrong? And through the tears, he said, I want my daddy to come out of the frame. I wonder if that has ever been your experience. You know that God, your heavenly Father, is real. You know he's good. You know he loves you, yet there are times when he seems to be in a frame. It feels that he does not hear our call, sees our need, feels our pain. He seems far away in a frame. Perhaps you're here today and you've never experienced God's presence, never known his goodness or his love, and have always felt that God is far away. But I hope that when we look at Psalm 61, it will reassure us that however far away we may feel God is, we are never too far away that he cannot hear our cry when we call. Psalm 61 is believed to have been written by King David. We don't know when he wrote it, but verse 2 says, from the end of the earth I call to you. And verse 4 says, let me dwell in your tent forever. So these two statements suggest that David is exiled from Jerusalem and the tabernacle, and perhaps hiding in fear, having fled from Absalom, his son, who was seeking to kill him and take the crown. Wherever David is, it feels like the end of the earth for him. Perhaps looking into an abyss, facing death itself, and God seemed far away. This psalm is known as a lament psalm, and I can imagine soldiers throughout the centuries up until this very day using this sort of psalm, crying out to God. We know that in the First World War, every soldier was given a little pocket Bible, and we know that some of these Bibles, little Bibles, literally saved people's lives, because the bullet hit the Bible. But these scriptures must have been great comfort too for the soldiers who were alone in the trenches. and feeling that they too were at the end of the earth, with faint hearts facing death itself, praying, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." In verses 1 to 4, David draws near to God by remembering answered prayers. And we too can pray with confidence because of what the Lord has done for us. And then in verses 5 and 8, David draws near to God by anticipating answered prayers. And we too can pray with confidence because of what the Lord will do. So we can pray with confidence because of what the Lord has done, and confidently ask God to hear us. "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." The word cry refers to a loud, piercing scream. It's urgent, it's desperate, it's an SOS, distress signal, if you like. "Hear me, God, listen to me." David needed God to hear and listen to his prayers. Prayer's not saying the right words. Prayer is crying out to God. And God can hear us from the ends of the earth and when our hearts are faint. One translation says, "When my heart is overwhelmed." And there are times in life when our hearts become overwhelmed. There are times in our lives when our hearts are full of fear and distress and hopelessness. And we need to find courage and strength. Perhaps there's people here today whose hearts are overwhelmed by the circumstances you are facing, and you're physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained, just as David felt. But David says, "From the ends of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint." So wherever we are, near or far from God, we can confidently ask God to hear us and then to help us. We need God's protection. And David uses three powerful pictures to describe how God can protect those who cry out in his name. God, he says, is a rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This prayer confesses human inadequacy and affirms divine sufficiency. David needed a rock to hold on to, and it needed to be higher than him so that he would not be overwhelmed by the crashing waves that were engulfing him. And he needed to be led because he could not see through the storm he was facing. Who is the rock? God himself. 22 times in the Psalms, God is called a rock. God is our rock. God is our refuge. David says God is his refuge. He's already proven himself to be David's refuge. A refuge is a place of safety, isn't it? And it was a place that people could run to when they were being pursued by the enemy. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." And David knew this from past experience, that when there was nowhere else to turn, he found a hiding place in God. God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is a strong tower. A strong tower is where one found safety when the enemy were attacking a city, and the watchman would be standing on guard in the strong tower. It was a strategic battle station from where they could reach the enemy without the enemy reaching them. God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is our strong tower. We call out to God to hear us, to help us, and to make our home in him. Verse 4, let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge under the shelter of your wings. The word tent that David uses here means tabernacle, the place where God dwelt. He is far from that place physically, but this is his longing. In Psalm 27, David says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And this ought to be our ultimate desire too, to be in God's presence, especially as we seek to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus. So David longed to abide in God's presence, to find protection under the shelter of his wings. And God fiercely wants to protect us as a mother bird protects her chicks. She opens her wings, doesn't she? And they come and hide under them. This is how God watches over us. A mother bird will never refuse to open her wings to her children. And God will never turn away those who seek shelter under his wings. David can pray for this protection because he knows that God has heard his vows, heard his prayers, if you like, of thanksgiving. And he can trust in his faithful God, who has already given him the inheritance that he has promised to all those who fear in his name, that promise to us all of eternal life. Secondly, we can pray with confidence because of what the Lord will do in the future. Verses 6 and 7, we see how David prays for himself and beyond himself. He was not in Jerusalem, the seat of his kingship. And the stability of the nation was based on the life of the king. So those who supported King David would have been praying these prayers for him. And so he humbly prays these prayers for himself. And then he prays that God will appoint two special guardians over him. Steadfast love and faithfulness. I love David's wise discernment, a humble prayer for a great king. Now, of course, David knew his personal reign would not endure for all generations, but David would forever remember God's promise to him that he would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And this promise ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, not only can I imagine soldiers praying this psalm, but I can imagine Jesus praying this psalm during his ministry here on earth, especially when he set his face towards Jerusalem and the cross. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayers. So this psalm that began with lamentation ends with celebration. So I will always sing praise to your name as I pay my vows day after day. So though his prayers, David's prayers, have yet to be answered, so sure is he that they will be, that he assures God that he will sing his praises. So surely grateful praise is the only appropriate response to answered prayer, and David says, always sing praises. This is not just joyful singing on a Sunday morning, but it's a lifelong act of worship in response to what Jesus has done for us that we have sung about this morning. Died on the cross, rose again after 3 days, ascended to heaven, and sent us the Holy Spirit. Today we remember those who fought and are fighting for peace. We remember and pray for those being persecuted for their faith. And we long for justice and mercy to be seen in all the earth. But until that day, we continue to cry, O God, listen to our prayers. As we pray with confidence for God's help, for his protection and presence in our personal lives and corporately as God's gathered people. Jesus taught us to pray, and we will pray shortly, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And just as God equipped King David to be his servant, who started life as a mere shepherd boy, so he equips us to go out and take the love of Jesus to those who also need God's help, protection, and presence in their lives, in our parish, in our community, in our city, in our workplaces. This is what bringing more of God's kingdom here on earth is all about. And it starts with us, as we remember the sacrifice of others, and ultimately the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us go today and join with God's mission to be part of bringing that peace that our broken world needs so very much. Amen.
Let us pray. On this Remembrance Sunday, God, we pray for military personnel, family and friends, past and present. We especially pray for those who grieve at this time. May you comfort them the only way you can. Grant military leaders wisdom and leaders of countries, may they listen to their wisdom. Also continue to support and inspire military chaplains. May these chaplains bring your light, love, peace, and wisdom wherever they tread. We pray for world leaders that they may truly desire peace and reconciliation. May they follow Jesus' example, full of love and compassion. May the use of force always be a last resort. Also, give courage to the churches and Christians in these areas to live out your gospel in the hardest of times. We pray for citizens caught up in war, everyday people who just want to live their everyday lives, go to work, school, eat, drink, and sleep in safety. God, we know you are there right with them, but may they truly feel and know your presence. May your wings cover them and protect them. Thank you for those who risk their lives distributing humanitarian aid and Bibles. Protect them too, and may your words bring hope to people who are scared and anxious. And we pray for these wars and conflicts to end, and that you may show us how we can bring that peace into people's lives. We pray for our country and our own lives. Bring peace, resolution, and reconciliation into our lives where we have conflict. We also pray for the tensions and divisions in our communities, country, and the church itself. Help us to prize discussion and listening, to call on your Spirit to bring peace and healing the way only you can. We also take time to pray for all the other things on our minds and hearts at the moment, including those who are poorly experiencing loss, and for all those people we work with, mission and prayer partners. God, we are truly sorry that there is still so much war and conflict in your world. We pray for citizens who have lost their lives and the families and friends who grieve. We pray that they may be surrounded by your love and that you'll provide the help they need. Lord, have mercy. At the heart of the gospel is forgiveness and grace, the only way to move forward and have life eternal. Help all of us call on you so we can forgive as you do. But thank you, Lord, for the future you shared in Isaiah, where weapons of war become farm tools to tend the ground, no longer taking life, but growing life instead, and where the wolf actually lies down next to the lamb. What a vision. The Garden of Eden before the fall. All your creation in harmony. We pray for this vision, your kingdom to come, and that you may find us ready and prepared. We end our prayers in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.